choice but to leap in your presence. Fear has no choice but to bow. Chains have no choice but to break. Shame has no choice but to leap in your presence. Choice but to bow. Chains have no choice but to break. Shame has no choice but to leave in your presence. Fear has no choice but to bow.
Begin. I'd like to welcome you to Family Harvest Church and the celebration of life for Mr. Mark Huber. Welcome to those who are joining us here in person, as well as those who are joining us online and those who may be watching this later. A special welcome to members of Mark's family that are joining us both physically and online and that shared him with us. If you could take, please, just a second to double check your devices and ensure that they're silenced. As we begin our service, if you would like to bow your heads, please do as I open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for Mark. We thank you for the time that we had with him. We thank you for the time we have today that we get to come together to honor him and his life. Thank you for peace for those who are grieving. Thank you, Lord, you are our refuge and our strength. You are our very present help in time of need. I ask for wisdom and grace today for this service.
Well, we just invite you to stand if you would like and just join us in worship. The family had asked if we could just do some songs worshiping Jesus here in this place today. Mark loved to worship. It was always a joy to watch him because he would enter in and other people would follow. It was just such a joy to have him here in our congregation. So I just invite you to sing along with us. If you know these songs, just worship the Lord here today. Oh, we lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus, we magnify you in this place. All about you, Lord Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I know there is peace within your presence. Yes. Be Jesus. Oh, there's peace in this place today.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break.
Receive his peace today. So just sing, shout Jesus from the mountains.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness. Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. There's nothing compares to this.
One of Mark's siblings, Sandra Hendry, to come up, and she's going to read the obituary for us.
On behalf of Mark's family, thank you all for being here today to help us honor and celebrate our brother. We feel your support and presence. Mark's obituary was a group effort. And the writing process helped us remember the many dimensions of Mark. And in honor of Mark's thorough style of research, teaching, and learning, I did a brief search for the word obituary. The noun obituary comes from the Latin obrai, where ob means toward and ire means go, suggesting going towards one's death. Or it can also mean going down. Or setting like the sun. Mark Stephen Huber, 65, of Cheyenne, Wyoming, passed away peacefully in his sleep of a heart attack on February 6, 2024. Mark was born on November 2, 1958, to Reuben and Arlene Krott Huber in Wagner, South Dakota. Mark graduated from Andy Central High School in 1977. He continued his education at the School of Mines in Rapid City, South Dakota, earning a bachelor's degree in civil engineering in 1981, and later obtaining a master's degree in engineering in 1988. During his high school years, he set track records for the 1 mile, 2 mile, and medley runs, and set the 1 mile state record in 1977 at 4 minutes, 24 seconds. He was a member of the 1973 VFW Teener State B basketball championship team. He was the youngest member of that team. He was a leader at the School of Mines track and cross country teams and established school records in the 1500 meter run in 1979 and the 5000 meter and the 10000 meter in 1981. He was the South Dakota Intercollegiate Conference 5000 meter and 10000 meter champion in 1981. And Mark was inducted into the South Dakota School of Mines Athletic Hall of Fame in 2008, and two of his records remain to this day. Mark and his college teammates received the Governor's Award of Valor from Governor Bill Janklow for their heroic efforts in safely rescuing a family whose car had rolled down a steep embankment in the mountains of Colorado. Mark's beloved coach and mentor, Jack Hunter, led the rescue and later discovered that the 7-year-old boy, who was expertly moved up the steep embankment via a rigged-up bodyboard made of floor mats and belts, survived a broken leg and a broken neck. Mark began his career in Bremerton, Washington, where he served as an engineer at the Puget Sound Naval Shipyards. He later played a pivotal role in the forerunner in GPS technology, being among the earliest individuals trained to utilize GPS for locating oil reserves, initially in Wyoming and later in the Gulf of Mexico. Next, Mark embraced the open road, spending years traversing the country behind the wheel of his 18-wheeler, and later hauling for the oil industry, first in Texas, and eventually settling in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I can't emphasize this enough, because Mark set the tone for adventure and athleticism in our family. The many triathlon teams were the most competitive when he was the designated runner. He cared deeply about big things. He loved to play, to laugh, and to be in the moment. He loved to run marathons, fish, camp, golf, ski, snowboard, bike ride, and his risk-taking included a few close calls, such as losing his fingernails to break a rock climbing fall and getting caught in a storm in his kayak in the Pacific Ocean. He was a postcard uncle, which included aggressive sledding on the hill near Fort Randall Dam in Pickstown, almost running a sailboat ashore at Lake Okoboji with Tyler, and secretly allowing Michael to drive his Eagle Talon. And he once built a makeshift tennis net out of rugs and ropes. His nieces describe him as an agent out in the world, reporting back about beaches, mountains, and open wild places. As an active church leader, mentor, and lay pastor, he served as a witness to his deep Christian faith to everyone in each of his church communities. Mark will be fondly remembered for his kindness, intellect, and unwavering dedication to his friends and family. He leaves behind a legacy of his Christian faith, integrity, perseverance, and a love that will continue to inspire those who knew him. He is survived by his siblings, Pam Heston and Alan of Fort Worth, Texas, Scott Huber and Mary Dold, Sandra and Tom Henry, and Jerry Huber, all of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Cindy Huber Reinders of Duluth, Minnesota, his nephews, Tyler and Lori Leonard, Bloomington, Minnesota, Michael and Kaylee Leonard, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, his nieces, Brooke Leonard of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Aaron and Andy Krieger, Duluth, Minnesota, Lauren Reinders of Rock Springs, Wyoming, and Brittany and Matt James of Rapid City, South Dakota. His grandnieces and nephews, Raina Brentrow, Grace Leonard, Blake and Jack Meckley, Lewis and Howard Leonard, Arden Krieger, Emery and Etta James, Maya Leonard, and his faith community and many cousins and their extended families. Mark was preceded in death by his parents, Reuben and Arlene Grott Huber. Rest in peace, Mark.
Sandra. At this time, we're going to go ahead. We have a slideshow, and we want to thank everybody that sent pictures in so we can enjoy Mark's life, and we got to see some when he was a little boy, so that blessed us, so we can go ahead and show that.
It's you, must go and I must bind. And take ye with my memory ever smiling. Untrodden path I'll tarry by your side. And though you leave behind a silver lining, it's you must go and I must find. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. It's I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Danny boy, oh Danny boy, I love you so. But when ye come and all the flowers are dying,
if I am dead as dead I will,
come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I shall hear the soft you tread above me, and all my grave will warm a sweeter bee. For you will tell me that you love me, oh Danny boy,
oh Danny boy,
oh Danny boy,
oh Danny boy,
Danny boy,
Danny boy.
And I shall sleep in peace until you come.
I'd like to brag on Jesus just a little bit. The best decision I ever made, the best day of my life, was when I received him as my Savior and my Lord. Nothing comes close. And that was quite a number of years ago. And the reason I got saved is I developed a fear of missing heaven. And that's not a bad reason. I've stuck with it. Some would say that's not a good reason. I think it's a pretty good reason, right? But since I've matured in the things of the Lord, the best part about being a Christian, amidst all the blessings, the best part of being a Christian, in my opinion, is just knowing him, right? Just knowing him. I think that supersedes all the blessings. And Paul put it this way, Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians 3:8, I consider all things lost for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And I echo those same words. It's the best part, is knowing him.
The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I need. You lead me to the safest places. You lead me to the safest places. To walk in the meadow and lie by the stream. You meet me in the quiet places. You meet me in the quiet places. Your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in your house for eternity. I'll be there by your side. I'll be there by your side. Though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I don't have to fear no evil, for I know that you are with me. With oil of blessing, you cover my head. You fill me to overflowing. My cup is overflowing.
And your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I'll dwell in your house for eternity.
You're the shepherd of my soul. You lead me in the right direction. My comfort and my protection. You're the shepherd of my soul. You prepare a table before me, right in front of my enemies. You're the shepherd of my soul. You lead me in the right direction. My comfort and my protection. You're the shepherd of my soul. Your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of
So in honor of Mark today, I wore a striped sweater. And Amy said, that was a couple Christmases ago. She leans over. She goes, that's the same sweater you're wearing today. So anyways, and I know Josh wore one. And as you can tell, we love Mark. He was such a blessing to so many of our lives. I know just visiting with the family and some of the things that they shared with us. And just heard a story before the service. I didn't realize he was the prankster. And Alan probably remembers this story, that he was down in the prayer room. And I guess you must have taken your shoes off or something. And Mark took his shoes and hit him around the church. And then put clues, you know, like you're probably hungry or something like that. You know, I guess one was in the kitchen. And now we found out he was quite the daredevil as well. And, you know, some of you remember, he'd get up on the roof. He'd go over here, this entrance over here, put the ladder, climb up on that peak there, pull the ladder up so he'd get up into the barrel roof. And and then they were sharing with us the other day when we met with him. I think he said he was about 8 years old, and your dad had the trees topped. And so all of a sudden the dad hears dad, and his dad's looking around. He had climbed up into one of the trees and was standing on the top of the tree and such. So it's good. Good to see. We'll have that going downstairs when we have the reception downstairs. And thank you for coming out on behalf of the family today and celebrating his life. He lived, as you can see by those pictures, he lived life to the fullest, right? And when he shared that testimony with me of when he came to the Lord, and it was such a powerful thing that he realized that his life without Jesus not just eternally, but even upon this earth, that it wasn't going to be a good ending and such. And so we know that he loved Jesus and that he shared that. And so I want to read out of John chapter 14, very familiar passage of Scripture, John 14. I'm just going to read the first six verses here. John 14, Jesus speaking here, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And so as we celebrate Mark's life today, and, you know, there's a sadness in losing a loved one, and losing a sibling, losing an uncle, a friend, an associate. And that's okay. I think sometimes we think, well, it's wrong. It's wrong to be sad. Because we know where he is. We know that he's with his Lord and Savior. But there's that natural grieving, that natural mourning that we have. It's okay to shed tears. And it's okay to cry, because that's an outlet that God has given us. And it doesn't mean we lack in our faith and such. But it's important. And it's important to remember. And I want to encourage you as a family, and over the days and weeks and months that come, that you share stories, that you talk. Don't be afraid to talk about him and his life. And it's okay to bring up the memories and to laugh and to cry and maybe even be a little bit mad at him sometimes, right? And such. We know, because none of us is perfect, we know he wasn't perfect. We know he maybe didn't always do everything right, but who of us has, right? So I want to encourage you as a family, share stories. Share things. Remember, you know, those funny times and maybe not so funny times that you experienced with your sibling and friend. And you know, sometimes we might ask the answer why. And that can be a troubling question, those three little letters, why. And I can't necessarily tell you why. Or we might ask, which I've been asked, what happened? And such, but those sometimes it just leads you just kind of in circles. And the thing that we need to focus on is Jesus and what he has done, yes. Right? Yes. And his life, and that he died on that cross, and those of us that believe in him and such. And so there's a comfort that comes to us. Jesus is getting ready to leave this earth, and so he brings comfort to his disciples in the last chapter 13 through chapter 17 of John. He's sharing things with his disciples as a friend and as their leader, and to bring comfort to their hearts. And, you know, they're upset because he talked about, "I'm going to die." And I believe there's some things that we can look at here briefly this morning that'll bring comfort to our hearts as he brought comfort to their hearts. Number one is death is real. And I was somebody shared this with me earlier, you know, we humans, we don't do death real well, do we? If we'll admit that. But death is real. It's a part of life. And I think we need to understand that and realize that. And we need to face it honestly. Even though there's ache when a loved one leaves this earth. I mean, it'd be nice to live forever, right, here upon this earth. And yet we know that if we put our faith and trust him, there is eternal life. And so we face it honestly. There's the emotions of missing that person. Wednesday night, the one light, square light, it was flickering. And I was thinking, oh, I need to tell Mark. And then it's like, well, Mark is not here physically. And there's been different, I'm sure some of you, I need to text him. I need to call him. And so emotionally, there's that void, and there's that ache and such, and tears are going to flow, and that's okay, right? It's okay, and we accept that because that's a physical outlet. Death is real, and when we accept that, healing can begin. You know, there sometimes we go through a time of denial. Well, that person isn't really gone. They're just on a long trip. And in a way, I guess we could say that because we know where he is. We know that because of his faith in Jesus. But there's that, when we face it honestly, realizing that death is real, then we can begin the healing process and recognizing that he's not here with us here upon this earth. And then for us here, it's sadness, but it's joy for him. Right? It's joy for him. He's with his Lord and Savior. And as he shared in that, and that was just a short clip, and we do have that. You can go to our website, and I believe they posted a link. And I had somebody tell me the other day, that was one of the best sermons that they've ever heard preached. Bulldog faith is what it was called. And so when a person has put their faith in Jesus, you know what? He's full of life, more life than any of us on this side of heaven can experience. And Paul declared in Philippians 1:21, he said, to be here upon this earth is Christ, but to be gone from here is gain, right? And as believers in Christ, we realize that there's eternal life beyond this life. Then heaven is real. Heaven's not a figment of people's imagination, and we need to understand that heaven is a very real place. And Jesus here in John 14, as well as other places, remember, he said, I go and prepare a place for you. And so heaven is a real place. And we have glimpses of it, I do believe, sometimes here upon this earth, the beauty that we see upon this earth. But heaven is so much more wondrous and so much more glorious than what we see here on this earth. Heaven is also a prepared place. John 14:2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. So it's a prepared place. And Jesus, we can trust Jesus' words, right? That he has prepared a place for us. And then heaven is a perfect place, right? Heaven is a perfect place. And again, the Bible tells us no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Right, you know, you look at mankind throughout the history of planet Earth, and what have they've always looked for, right? I mean, we have people today that, you know, billionaires and millionaires that will freeze their body because they're looking for sustaining of life, that maybe someday that body can be brought back. So there, in Ecclesiastes, the writer says eternity has been placed on the inside of each and every one of us. And so there's that longing. There's that longing for a better place. And Jesus tells us here, I go and prepare a place for you, and it's a perfect place. And Paul says this, that as believers, we don't mourn or grieve as those that have no hope. Well, we have hope. It doesn't mean we don't grieve. It doesn't mean that we're not sad. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to shed some tears. I had a few tears as I was watching those pictures, just remembering Mark in just a few short years that we knew him here at Family at Harvest Church. Then the third thing about what Jesus brought us, salvation is real. Okay, salvation is real. And Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And we hear so much in our world today. But Jesus said this. He said to Philip, verse 6 of John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it's only through Jesus, right? He's a wonderful Savior. And as Mark said in that clip, greatest decision that he ever made in his life was to give his life to Jesus. And it brings joy. And even in the midst of heartache, even in the midst of, we feel sorrowful and we hurt on the inside. Yet there can be a joy and there can be a peace that comes to Jesus Christ. And he knew him in a very personal way. And if you visited with him and he would talk about things of the Bible, he would talk about his Lord and his Savior. And there was a joy. There was light in his eyes, right? And such. And again, we know he wasn't perfect, right? We know he didn't do everything right. But yet, he loved Jesus. And if we could do everything right, and if any of us were perfect, I know my wife thinks I'm perfect, but, you know, she just kind of gave me a funny look, so I guess I'm not. Jesus is the only perfect one. And that's why we put our trust in him and commit our lives to him. And then, lastly, he's coming again. And that's real. And, right? And you might say, well, I've heard it all my life. Yeah, I know I've heard it all my life as well. One of the things Mark would tease me about is I'm a year older than him. Right? And so we would talk about that. Yeah, Pastor, you're older than I am. And so, well, just by a year, Mark, it's not that much older. Right? But we would talk about that. Talk about things that we see in the world and things that are happening in the world. And, you know, it's closer, right? It's closer than when I was five. It's closer than when, you know, any of us. And so we can look at that, and of course, not just at what's going on in the world, but we look to what Jesus said. In John 14:3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus desired. That's why he came to this earth. He desires us to be with him. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 through 21. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. And then we understand, because of him coming again, that there is that reunion, right? Looking forward to seeing those that have gone before us that put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. David said this when his son passed away. David said this: I can go to him, but he's not going to be able to come to me. And he recognized that there was a life beyond this life, right? And we even sing songs. What a glorious day that's going to be, right? I remember hearing years ago a song called "The Gospel Ship." The Gospel Ship. It's called Grace. And people that have gone before us, that they are waiting to see us. And, of course, to see our Savior face to face. And so it means reunion. And then it also means everlasting life. In John 11, verse 25 and 26, before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus, speaking to Mary, said this: Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And of course she said. And so that's comfort for us today, right? To understand these words of Jesus and also something to look forward to on this earth and when we pass from this earth. And so as we close today, death for the believer is just a transition. Just the gateway into a new and better life. And even though our life here, that we enjoy and the beauty of it, and it speaks of something better to come. And I recently came across this story, and I've shared it. A couple of months ago, I did a celebration of life back in Nebraska. And I come across this story, and there was a woman in a church, and she had been diagnosed with cancer. And so she called her pastor and said, I want to go through all the details, the songs I want sung, the scriptures I want read, and just everything that I want done for my service and such. And so, and I want to be buried with my favorite Bible. And so as the pastor was beginning to leave, she stopped him, and she said, I have one more request. And she said excitedly, and the pastor said, well, what's that request, ma'am? And she goes, this is very important. And the woman continued, I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand. And she said, and the pastor kind of looked at her kind of quizzically, and she said, that surprises you, doesn't it? And the pastor says, well, I am a little puzzled and such why you would want to have a fork in your right hand. And the woman explained, in all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, keep your fork. Keep your fork. It was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming. like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie, or salted caramel ice cream, which I have some here today. And if you knew Mark, you knew Mark loved ice cream. And I think this is one of his favorite, though he brought many when he'd come to staff meetings. And it got to be a joke around here. Who's going to bring the ice cream? And Mark would raise his hand. Why was that? And it would be so interesting at our staff meetings and such. In fact, we're going to honor him on Sunday night because we have, and we're going to have lots of ice cream. And he'd say, Pastor, he said, can I get the ice cream out? Is it too soon to get the ice cream out? And he could hardly wait. He'd be the first one usually, right? Isn't that right? He'd be the first one. And so, in honor of Mark this morning, I'm going to have some ice cream. Because the best is yet to come. And that's what he would want to leave with us. And so just excuse me a minute. And this isn't going to be downstairs. This is mine. And so, so as we close today. Well, that's good. Might have to have some more. So as we close today, I believe that Mark, and even more important, our Lord and Savior, he's rejoicing. And even though we're sad here upon this earth, and I don't have all the answers, but I know where you can find the answers. It's in the Bible. And whatever questions you may have and whatever things that may be troubling you as a family this morning, I encourage you, because I know Mark would encourage you, go to the Word of God. You'll find comfort there. You'll find solace there. You'll find peace. And if you don't know Jesus, I encourage you to ask him to come into your heart and take control of your life. It's not with Mark, it wasn't a religious thing. Sometimes we might say of a loved one or someone we know, we might, well, they're really religious. No, it's about a relationship with Jesus. And he's the best friend you can ever have. So I just want to pray. If you just bow your head and close your eyes, if you would. And, we focus on what we do know. And we do know Jesus is coming back again. We do know, according to the Word of God, that he died for our sins. And he paid that price so that we could have eternal life. And that we could live with him forever. So I want everybody in this room, whether you've committed your life to Jesus, would you repeat this after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you loved me so much that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. I recognize him as my Savior and as my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sin and he was raised up again as the everlasting Lord. So today, I commit my life to live for him. I declare Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Amen. And remember, the best is yet to come. At this time, our worship leader, Amy, is going to sing because this was one of his favorite, the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be. Thank you, Amy. And that was Mark's favorite, and I understand that your dad used to sing that song as well. And so before we dismiss in prayer today, we will be having a reception downstairs just to spend some time with the family. And what we've done, they had asked, could people share stories and of what Mark meant, you know, because we were his church family, and so they wanted to hear some of the stories. So we're going to have a mic down there. We're going to have an open mic. And so we asked you to go to the mic and share the story. And, you know, we talk around here about a popcorn type of story, which means it's fresh and hot and leaves a good taste in everybody's mouth. And we're going to record those. Okay, so don't be bashful. We're going to record that. We're going to give the recording to the family. And so we'll have that set up for you downstairs. We're going to pray, and we're going to go ahead and dismiss the family to go ahead and go downstairs, and then the ushers will dismiss the rest. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and once again, we are grateful, Lord, for your word and the words of Jesus that bring us comfort, Lord God. And Father, though we were sad, and Lord God, though it sadness and the emotions of losing someone we love so much, our brother and our sibling, Lord God, an uncle. Father God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus Christ. And we pray for that comforting power of the Holy Spirit, specifically over his family, Lord God, in the days and the weeks to come. Lord, as they go back, and Father God, we pray that you would protect them and watch over them. Lord, as they go back to late, and Lord God, and they have a service there, Lord, just minister to each and every one that is there as well. And so we thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy to us. And Father God, we just thank you for the life of Mark and the fact that he loved you and had a relationship with you. And Lord, now as we go downstairs to enjoy some time of fellowship and just to visit with the family and share stories, Lord God, just ask you to bless this food to our bodies, you, Lord. Bless the time. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen. So, family, if you would follow Taylor, and he will escort you and help you downstairs. And I just want to honor, this was Mark's pastor, and in Platt, South Dakota, and his wife, I can't remember, Kevin and Julie. And so they made the trip down yesterday, and And so I'm glad you guys are here to be with us. And I believe that his pastor down in Houston, they were going to watch this as well live stream. So ushers, if you could come and just let them go row by row so it doesn't get too crowded there in the stairwell. And you can go ahead and go on downstairs. I'll need a couple people because there's like 3 tubs of ice cream in here. I won't be able to eat all the ice cream, but I am keeping this one. So thank you, guys.